swings it in. The U.S. go up. What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Boyd will try a long hit. What a goal from Lloyd. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is. Switzerland. And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Good evening, everybody. It's a big night of celebration, especially if you're a Chelsea fan or a Cruz Azul fan. Glenn Davis here on the heels of Fred and AJ. Behind the glass, as always, Aaron Raybould. Aaron, listening to the end of the show, a lot of sense being made there by Fred Fowler, AJ, and yourself about human behavior on airplanes. And, you know, it really hits home when Fred says, you know, we just came out of a pandemic and we just really have seemed to blow it. We're not treating each other better. And sad but true, quite frankly.
Yeah, humans don't know how to behave. Apparently a year locked up at home meant that they've reverted to children and their mom's not there to correct them.
What's happened to just common decency and respect for each other?
Yeah, that was long gone.
Yeah. Or is that something that old people say? I don't know. All right. Whatever it's worth. Hoping everybody had a great weekend. By the way, it was a great weekend to be grateful and, you know, just think about those that gave their lives for us to have a little bit of a better life. Not a bad thing to think about. In my case, so I can live the dream here, talking soccer on the radio with you tonight. Now, 713-780-3776, the call-in number is going to be big tonight because I want to get these phone lines lit up. I want to know what it means to Chelsea fans. I saw the Bayou City Blues. I went in to do the Dynamo game call of the Kansas City game out of the stadium, which, you know, we don't travel on the road anymore. Nobody really does. And I saw all the Bayou City Blues up on the rooftop celebrating. They had their banners there. So what does it mean to you, Chelsea winning? And any other thoughts on Chelsea over Manchester City that comes to your mind? We can break it down to 713-780-3776. Also, suffering for 23 years, well, they suffer no more. Cruz Azul, La Máquina winning the Liga MX title with youth and plenty of motivation over Santos. They do it 2-1 on aggregate. We'll talk about that tonight as well. So if there are Cruz Azul fans out there, I do want to hear from all of you as well. Rodrigo de Luna will come on the show, the longtime Houston soccer community contributor. He'll come on the show later on tonight, talk about Cruz Azul, because he's a longtime Cruz Azul fan. But I want to get your thoughts. Chelsea, Cruz Azul fans, let's get you on the show tonight here. Let's talk about it. We got a big, big week here as things are going to continue to heat up when it comes to soccer. We got Nations League. We could talk about Greg Berhalter, the U.S. national team. We can talk about Tata Martino and Chucky Lozano getting their come-from-behind victory in friendlies, but it'll be U.S. and Honduras on Thursday, Mexico and Costa Rica as well on Thursday. And there's a lot of breaking news going on around the world with people moving. Sergio Aguero now is going to Barcelona on a free transfer. Carlo Ancelotti is going back to Real Madrid after how poorly he was treated there. But he's going back. He's leaving Everton. So there's a lot to talk about tonight. We'll get to it again. Phone lines are open, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. So I'm going to talk a bit about Chelsea here. Now, first of all, let's put a couple of things in perspective. Let's get some of the facts out of the way. 16,500 in Porto, that's where they played it. Thomas Tuchel, quite frankly, outdoing in the tactical category, Pep Guardiola. Guardiola did not start Fernandinho or Rodri, defensive midfielders. So did Pep Guardiola overthink this? That'll be question number one. Kai Havertz getting the game winner in this. That was the difference there. He becomes the second youngest to score in a Champions League final behind Lars Ricken. So if you're a Chelsea fan or a fan quite frankly, of the sport who was following Chelsea. Who would have thought that Chelsea would be here in the final after firing Frank Lampard? And Lampard's firing was not the most popular, by the way. Bayou City Blues, you guys didn't want to see him go. I know that. This happens, though, with former stars who are beloved for what they did on the playing field and may not be ready to be the head coach. Now, I'm not putting it on Lampard. Lampard did well with the young guys, if you think about it. Once they made the investment, more players came in. Now, this turned into a different beast. And maybe he got the job too soon. It's probably what you're going to say. You also have to remember this is Roman Abramovich. This is Chelsea. There is no waiting around for things to happen. Managers come and go. Chelsea did not fool around. They made the change to the more experienced manager. And did it pay off? It paid off also. I hope you're sitting down. So listen to me. It paid off to the tune of in the neighborhood of $130 million. That's for getting through all these stages and winning the Champions League. So the billionaire is now $130 million richer, winning the UEFA Champions League. So when you buy clubs, and when you're Gulf Coast Toyota, and you buy Roma, you want to get in, you're gambling. You want to get into that Champions League. And you want to get after that Champions League money. And to think they want a Super League, right? No, know why they want the Super League is because they simply wanted to monopolize the market, know exactly what they were making each and every year, be able to budget, et cetera, and just get even more filthy rich. All right, let's go to the phone lines. We got a caller. What's
I'm going to ask you real quick because Fred wanted to know.
Yeah.
What is more prestigious, winning the Champions League or the Premier League?
Oof, you know, that's that for me, I'm going to say it's the Champions League because you become the champions of Europe. But I know a lot of managers in England, including Pep Guardiola, are going to say the Premier League because of the nature of it, the difficulty of it. Two very different tournaments. You know, one is in the country of England. The other is a tournament that encompasses all of the teams in Europe. That's why it was kind of an interesting final. I did miss the fact that there were two teams from the Premier League. I did miss the fact that there was not, you know, somebody from either La Liga or the Bundesliga or from a differing league just to kind of, you know, add a little bit more spice and flavor to it. No question. But that's what we got. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Luis, what's on your mind, Luis?
Hey, hi. Hi, Glenn. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you, Luis?
Very good. Very happy. Very happy. I am Cruz Azul fan, so I did my travel to Mexico this weekend. Got to the Azteca and celebrated. Oh,
wow, Novena. you were at the game, Luis? I'm so glad you called in. Tell us about the atmosphere there. What was the feeling like being a Cruz Azul fan before the game, knowing how many times you've gotten to finals and just haven't won them?
Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody say that being a Cruz Azul fan is some kind of special because, as you mentioned, there were many, many finals. Somebody say losing, but I say, okay, we reached the final. Only two teams got to the final. One of them is going to win, and the other is going to be second place. So I've been in three finals. One when I was kid, we won that. The other two, of course, we lost. But this one was amazing. I mean, being in the stadium, being with all the people, and then going to celebrate to the Angel of the Independencia, that's amazing. That's something that you need to live to know what it's feeling.
Luis, tell my listeners about the importance of the Angel. Having been married to a woman from Mexico, I know all about the Angel of Independence. But it becomes a spot where you celebrate these other victories as well. Tell everybody about the Angel in Mexico City.
The Angel in Mexico City is one of the most important monuments in Mexico. It's celebrating the independence of Mexico. So most of the teams, even if the Mexico soccer team won or any other team playing in Mexico won, everybody all the fans going to there. This time, I guess, were 80,000 people around the Angel. So, you know, being there with another fan, having fun, celebrating, yelling, drinking, of course. So, yeah, that's something, again, that's something that you need to be there to describe exactly what you feel being there.
Luis, a fantastic moment for Cruz Azul, a fantastic moment for Juan Reynoso, who was the last player to lift the Liga MX, you know, title the last time Cruz Azul won it in the late 90s, I think it was. Now he comes back and wins it as a coach. He wins it as a coach, and he gives his medal to Enrique Mesa. Tell us a little bit about that and what you thought about Reynoso and what a remarkable story that is.
You know, I mean, as you mentioned, Reynoso was one of the players playing with Cruz Azul in 97, the last champion there. So back in that time was Reynoso the chief. So, no, sorry, not the one. Mesa has been one of the coaches for a long time in Cruz Azul. So this Mesa was the coach for Reynoso. So he has been in contact with him. He has been asking for advices. So that's the reason that Reynoso went to say thanks to Mesa, and he gave him the medal. So yeah, that's telling you that Reynoso has the the blood, the blue. I mean, he's a blue blood. That's why he's besides being the player and besides being the coach, he's a Cruz Azul fan too.
Luis, what's your last name?
Alarcón.
Thank you for calling in, Luis. Okay, now let me ask you another question here. Do you follow Major League Soccer? Do you follow the Houston Dynamo, or are you strictly Cruz Azul?
To be honest,
I don't want you to be afraid to say anything, because it's informative to get people that are very deep into football like you on this show and are big fans of teams and clubs in Liga MX.
Yeah, exactly. I've been in a couple of games from the Houston Dynamo. So, yeah, I think it's time to start to follow Houston. Before I say that, just to let you know what the Cruz Azul fans can do to support the team. As I shared in my Twitter, I traveled to Mexico. I was hitting the road from here to Laredo, then going by bus to Monterrey, then flying to Monterrey. I arrived to Mexico, to Azteca, without ticket. So there were very sad experiences in Mexico about Colón's ticket. There was a lot of people that bought his ticket, and they were rejected in the entrance. So, yeah, that's what something, I mean.
So, wait. Go, Luis, go back and tell me how you got there again. How did you travel there? You flew into where?
Okay. I hit the road here, driving from Houston to Laredo, Texas. Then I crawl walking.
Yep.
Yeah. Then I get the bus from to Laredo, Texas, to Monterrey. Then I arrive to the Monterrey airport around 4 a.m. I flew to Monterrey. I flew to Mexico and arrived about 10 a.m., 12 a.m. Then I hit the Azteca about noon, and I start to walk around the Azteca looking to buy a ticket. But I learned that were a lot of fake tickets. I had a conversation with multiple people there. Some of the resellers were telling me, hey, I am giving very expensive tickets because there is a lot of fake tickets.
Yeah,
so I was looking around. I was looking in the media. I was in Twitter. And at the end, I reached another fan that was an available ticket, and I buy from them. But yeah, it was... That's some adventure I did is that. So then,
what an adventure.
Sorry?
Unbelievable. Luis, can I offer you something? If I got you a pair of tickets to a Dynamo game, would you go down there?
Sure, team.
Okay. So what I want you to do after we take you off the radio here, I want you to give your email address to Aaron, who's my producer, okay?
Okay, perfect.
What a fantastic story. Thank you so much for giving us the flavor of what went on down there. Did you stick around and watch the players celebrating on the field after the game as well, like Chaco Jimenez and some of the others, Corona? Did you stick around and watch all that?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. All right. Luis, thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Thanks, too. Thanks to you for having me, Keith.
How about that? Luis drives to Laredo. Crosses over the border on foot, gets a bus, takes the bus from Laredo to Monterey, then gets on a plane and flies to Mexico City. I mean, that's a supporter of the year. Unbelievable passion. Cruz Azul fan. All right, we're going to come back in the second segment. And again, we're taking phone calls, 713-780-3776. Where are you, Chelsea fans? I was just getting into the Chelsea, some of the thoughts on the game. My man of the match, N'Golo Kanté. What about our man, Christian Pulisic? Comes on, helps manage the game out, plays intelligently, almost scores. Best chance in the second half for Chelsea came from him. Havertz's goal stands. Tuchel's a genius. Life is good if you're a Chelsea fan right now. Kanté? Oof, I got some things to say about him when we come back. Big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsors. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. You get in an accident, car, boat, motorcycle. You might drive an 18-wheeler, work in a refinery. Call the Daspit Law Firm. 713-322-HURT. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. 713-322-HURT. It is DaspitLaw.com. And by the way, John has been to Stamford Bridge. He is a Chelsea fan, so he's feeling pretty good right now as well. This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. It is going to be live for a number of shows out at the Marquee Entertainment Center, Hugh O'Connor's. That's going to be the official home of Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 during the Euros, Hugh O'Connor's Pub. We'll take a break.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is Oliver Luck, and you're listening to Soccer Matters on 97.5 with the irrepressible Glenn Davis.
Chilwell. Mount with time to turn. He's played in Kai Havertz, who is around Ederson, and Havertz scores for Chelsea! It's a royal blue moment! Be Royals of Europe from London Town.
There's no way to describe this moment. I never in my life thought that I could be here. And I hope there's some kids watching back home in America thinking they can do the same.
How big is this step in your career?
It's massive. I mean, this is the biggest thing you can win in club football. And I'm so proud of this team, man. It's a joy to be here.
That was Christian Pulisic. Played a huge part. Came on and helped manage this game out, made some incredibly good decisions on the ball. He was lively, had a chance that just went wide in a one-on-one, committed a very important professional foul. Don't forget that near the sideline. Just remember, he went to Germany on a dual passport at 16. He had those vital years of training over there, those additional years. Because of a dual passport. But what a moment it was. His father, Mark, was there, who played professional soccer. His mother was there. This kid's a real deal. He donated a significant amount of money back to his youth soccer club, who were, I think, building some fields. These things you have to take note of. Pretty incredible. So we welcome you back. Look, Thomas Tuchel, yeah, there's another German manager heading up an English club now. We heard of Klopp. There's now Thomas Tuchel. He figured this team out pretty quickly when he got the job. He moved in the direction he needed to. Amazing short amount of time. Changed personnel. He did get criticized for not using certain people. He stuck with Timo Werner. He finally got Havertz going. And then, you know, up and down in and out of the lineup of Christian Pulisic. Is he a starter? Is he not? You know, that one goaded the U.S. fans some. But so many interesting pieces of management from him, tactical application, and then this team crystallizing. So he won the battle of tactics in this game with Pep Guardiola. I don't think there's any question. Was not the most scintillating final if you were a neutral. But Tuchel said, quote, "We wanted to be a stone in the city's shoe. We wanted to be a stone in city's shoe." There we go. Like when you get a stone in your sneaker or something when you're out. 713-780-3776. I think we have Evan. Evan, what's on your mind tonight?
Oh, just trying to recover from the celebration that was this weekend.
How you feeling today?
Chelsea was amazing.
Well, tell me a little bit more than amazing. What did you take away from the game? What were some of the big pieces for you outside of a good celebration? How's the brain working today, by the way?
The brain's working pretty well. I think for me this weekend, Timo proved once again that, you know, though he didn't have the goal-scoring year that we wanted him to, he still proves that he can stretch the back line, he can have defenders confused, and that allows the other players to flourish, which is what he did all season. Now, if he can stay on sides and work on that a little bit and finish a couple of extra goals, I mean, if you look at the, what, five or so penalties that he won this year, if he would have taken them and scored, that would have completely changed his goal-scoring line. So, I mean, I think it's a bright future for the squad to look at.
You know, I'm really glad you brought that up, and that's very astute because people, oh, you know, Werner, and it's right there for us to see. He is not confident finishing and striking a ball, but he's out there for exactly what you said. He's out there for movement and mobility for others, and that's why Tuchel has stuck with him so long. It's not necessarily about the goals with him because, you know, I mean, you almost felt sorry for him at times this year because he couldn't finish. The movement and mobility is such a key. It's a great point you bring out. Anything else?
Yeah. I would also say that I would have loved to see Tammy get a chance to be up there with Mason and Timo. I just feel like he was one of our, you know, he was on point. Anytime he was in the box and the ball was at his feet, he was putting it in the net. So I was hoping that for him to at least get a shot to had that opportunity to prove himself as he did with Frank. But, I mean, that's what they get paid the big bucks for, and that's why we won Champions League, because the coach, the skipper, knew what he was doing.
Well, you're right. And you know, he is really symbolic of the Lampard regime prior to Tuchel getting there. And then, of course, Havertz and all these other signings come in. It makes it difficult for Tammy Abraham. My man of the match was N'Golo Kanté. Remarkable how he closes people down. Cuts out passing lanes, does all these things people don't recognize. What a pillar in midfield to build around, an all-action midfielder. He led attacks as well. He was unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, there's no coincidence that he wins major trophies for all of his teams every year because, you know, he really is the rock in the middle. That, and he gets on the attack as well. I mean, he can start an attack before you know it. It's 3-1, and he's leading it. So he really does put in a lot of effort on both sides of the ball, and it's a blessing to have him on our team because he really does make a difference.
His story is a remarkable 11 duels won, 10 ball recoveries, 4 aerial duels, which was the most on the field, and he is the smallest guy on the field. No fouls, by the way. How about that? N'Golo Kanté plays in one of the most combative places on the field, in central midfield, and goes through an entire Champions League final without committing a foul. Remarkable.
I did not recognize that. That is an insane stat.
That is insane. Evan, thank you so much for weighing in. Great point on Timo Werner. Love that.
Absolutely. Anytime.
All right. That's Evan, celebratory Chelsea fan. Feeling very, very good. Let's hear a little bit from N'Golo Kanté. We've got some sound from him.
Hi. Hi, hello.
Congratulations, first of all.
Thank you.
Great trophy, but you were amazing during You were amazing during the season. You have shown a great performance, and now you are the champion of the Champions League. How would you evaluate the performance of the team, and of course your own performance? You are the man of the match.
No, we are very happy, very proud. Is the result of a lot of effort together, some good results, some bad, but we stay together. We did very well in the second part of the season, and we enjoyed this title all together.
Three times in a row, you managed to win Pep Guardiola's Manchester City. What do you think was the main thing in this three matches?
No, I think this is secondary. The main thing is the fight we did together, the result we had, the win we had, and all together we fight for this result, and at the end, this is beautiful to win this kind of title together.
Thanks a lot. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, there you had it. That was N'Golo Kanté. This guy's won everything. Everything. He's won the Europa League. He's won the Champions League. He's won the Premier League. He's won the FA Cup. He's a World Cup winner. He is a remarkable player and just goes about it in such not only workmanlike, but just so professional, just so professional in the way he plays the game, represents himself, all big things. All right. So we talked about Kanté, Kevin De Bruyne. That was a big loss. I don't know. How shaken do you think was City after De Bruyne went off? That was the clash with Rudiger. By the way, it was 51 years ago that Manchester City played in their last major European final. That was a tournament that doesn't exist anymore called the Cup Winners' Cup, which has been retired. So De Bruyne goes off. Thiago Silva also went off. Andreas Christensen came on. Havertz got the beautiful, just whipped in pass. I mean, eye of the needle. Well, it wasn't eye of the needle because you could have drove a bus through that space, but how quick the pass came from Mason Mount was very, very impressive. Pep Guardiola got criticized for not playing with a defensive midfielder. Most noteworthy, Fernandinho. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. No Rodri either in that one. So that was a big loss. German coaches now have won the last three Champions League finals. Jurgen Klopp, Hansi Flick, and now Thomas Tuchel. Also, is trend-setting right now. We all know how good German coaches are. We all know how good the Bundesliga is in training German coaches and players, so it's reaping its benefits. Pretty impressive. And you truly have to tip your hat to Chelsea and what Tuchel did. I don't think there's any question. Do we have any more sound from Christian Pulisic, Aaron? I thought we... Yeah, let's run a little bit more sound from Pulisic and others.
Chilwell. Mount with time to turn.
Couldn't imagine. I'm just so proud. I'm so proud to be here. I don't know, man. It's been a difficult road for me, and I couldn't imagine winning the Champions League ever in my life, and now I'm here, so it's just crazy.
That's pretty incredible, right? Couldn't imagine winning the Champions League. And Pulisic, big stuff. Let's go to some Pep Guardiola sound here, and just you can get a sense of where Pep Guardiola was in the post-match press conference.
Stuart, now I'm not clever enough to think about next season. It was a season with 62 games. We played 61, so it was really tough for all of us and difficult, you know, pandemic world and everything. So if today we analyze a game, of course we are sad. Congratulate Chelsea. We have to learn from this. We will learn from the future. But the season was exceptional. This is my incredible respect for the players. They did everything. They gave everything on the pitch, and unfortunately we could not we could not win, but we'll come back in the future stronger.
So that was Pep Guardiola. He got asked right after the game about the future, about transfers, all this other stuff, and you know, he kind of deflected that. I'm sure he doesn't want to get into that right now. I mean, sometimes You know, being in the business, I get it. I mean, people are trying to get that sound bite, right? On the other hand, sometimes you have to be careful that you're not disrespectful. But most savvy, good managers don't get upset at this stuff. They're able to just basically take questions and turn them into positives, things they would prefer to talk about. Now, when you lose Champions League final and you're immediately thrust in front of the cameras, it's rough. Can't be fun for Guardiola. And by the way, before the game, he mentioned over and over and over that sometimes you need two Champions League finals to finally win it. You know, you get there the first time, it's not easy. That's 51 years. 51 years since Manchester City's been to a major European final. That's pretty incredible. All right, they're talking about the Copa America being moved to Brazil. This is the 47th version of it. Colombia pulled out, if you remember, in the beginning as co-host with Argentina. Messi's in talks to stay at Barcelona. When Sergio Aguero signs there, that's a good sign that that's something that Messi will like. Zinedine Zidane was quoted as saying Real Madrid did not give the trust that he needed. I'm paraphrasing here. So Zidane is gone. Carlo Ancelotti is leaving Everton, headed to Real Madrid, the managerial, you know, musical chairs continues. Sergio Ramos has been linked to Manchester City. He wants a two-year deal and extension at Real Madrid. If you're Carlo Ancelotti and you have a good relationship with him, you would surely want him to stay due to his leadership. Rafael Varane's contract is up in 2022, so that's right around the corner. Dynamo, we're going to go to 100% capacity. We're going to have Victor Ariza and Eddie Robinson going to join me with two segments. We're going to break down and talk about the Champions League. We'll talk some Cruz Azul, but we're going to get a little bit heavier into the Dynamo game against Sporting Kansas City, which it did show us a lot. Dynamo is still struggling with the road. Good news is they're 3-3-1. They're in fifth place in the West, positioned well after seven games. They've got a very heavy schedule coming up. They will go to full capacity July 3rd for FC Cincinnati and the return of Jeff Cameron. So a lot of good stuff coming on. So the next two segments, if you want to join us or you have a comment or you want to challenge us or you disagree, you're allowed to disagree. Disagreement leads to, you know, good conversation sometimes and people putting forth their points in a respectful way, of course. All right, this is ESPN 97.5, 92.5 at Soccer Matters. This will be your soccer coverage home of the Euros at Hugh O'Connor's. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, the official Euro-watching venue, and, of course, where we will do live shows and give away all kinds of cool gifts is at Hugh O'Connor's out on I-10. And I'll give you the dates before tonight's over when we will be out there live. But these are June Tuesday nights live, and then there'll be some specific watch parties, England, Scotland, that'll have a presence, also the final. And it's the place to watch the games. It's where you want to head. It's a great pub. You go in there, you say, you tell Dave you heard about it on Soccer Matters. You tell Peter, who I think is going back to Ireland. Great spot. That's where you're going to want to catch it. All right, we're going to take a break here. A new Burning Topics is out, presented by Cactus. You can find that at Twitter. Glenn Davisock will take a break. We got more to come. It's Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. You
know she loves ESPN 97.5.
I'm Tyler Adams, and you are listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis on ESPN 97.5.
No, I got you, Aaron. I'm just listening. I got to hear this chorus. All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. It's Debo. Pretty fun song. Bunch of guys with planners on their heads. The 80s. I think they were fraternity guys who started this band, took off. Welcome back to the show here. Again, we always appreciate everybody's sponsorship of this program. How about a quick word here for our friends at Advantage BMW in Midtown. I've leased, I bought from Advantage. The guys down there, Steven and Justin, go down there, ask for them. They can get you into a vehicle that you will like, whether it's a sedan, 3, 5, 7 series. Do you want a SUV? They'll get you in an SUV. I got an X5. It's the first time I went to the SUV because I wanted to have room to put stuff in it. Amazing vehicle. Love it. Took it on a 23-hour drive to New Jersey. I've mentioned that a million times. Car handles incredible. And they handle very well in dangerous situations on the freeway as well. You know, they straighten you out, and they're just great vehicles. Advantage BMW Midtown. I've leased, I've bought from them. I thank them very, very much. Before we get to our great friend Eddie Robinson and Victor Ariza, I think we do have a phone call. Who do we have, Aaron? All right, let's go to William real fast, and then we'll get Eddie and Victor on for two segments. And we will be taking your calls throughout these segments, all three of us, okay? So let's go to William. William, what's up?
Hi, thanks for having me. I have a question.
Hey, William. Fire away.
How do you feel about our new center back, Tinaj, from Zimbabwe? Is that how you say his name?
Yeah, Teenage Hadebe. Yes, that's a very, very good question. That's a very good question. Well, first of all, I have to be completely up front. I have not seen him play. What I can tell you is what others have told me in Turkey. Athletic. He's left-footed, which I think there's a big key there because I think Todd Ramos, you know, and everybody in general would like a left-footed left center back that can play with his left foot, that can collect the ball across his body and not use his right foot and knock it back into pressure. I do know that his team, Malatyaspor, they were fighting off relegation. He was a part of helping them survive in the Turkish Superliga. It's not one of the bigger teams over there. He has played in South Africa, and I think at the end of the year, during some of the very critical weekends, he made the team of the week in the Turkish Superliga twice. So I can only give you, William, a very good question, by the way. I can only give you what I know from the standpoint of written. I can't tell you much from having watched him play because I have not seen him play.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Thank you so much, William. Love when we get, I think that's William Campbell. I like when we get young callers calling the show. All right. Eddie Robinson, Victor Ariza joins us now. Eddie, how are you?
What's up, Glenn? What's up, Victor?
All right. Is Victor on there?
Hey, what's up, Eddie?
All right. There's Victor. All right. So we got Victor Ariza, striker. We got Eddie Robinson, of course, everybody knows from his Dynamo playing days on the broadcast. All right, let's get initial thoughts from both of you on the Dynamo Sporting Kansas City game. Obviously, it ends 3-2. It's a scoreline that flatters a little bit, if we're honest. But, you know, Eddie, let's get your first synopsis of it, and then we'll go to Victor.
Well, listen, you and I have talked about it. I feel like Memo Rodriguez is most effective when he's in the middle of the field. I don't feel like he's effective out wide. He didn't have a lot of touches in the first half. I think the Dynamo looked completely average. It was a disappointing performance, to say the least, especially after going into halftime up 1-0. And, you know, to come out in the second half and give up 2 goals as quickly as they did and go down, and, I mean, I've become used to the Dynamo reacting well to giving up goals. Either they get one back or all of a sudden they're pushing the game, and it just wasn't the case. And I don't know if that had to do with attitude or personality or fatigue, but I was disappointed. This was really one of maybe the only game this season so far that I could say that I was disappointed in the Dynamo.
Victor, fire away.
Well, I agree with a lot of the points that Eddie makes. Like, the biggest thing is obviously they take the lead. You think, well, you know, they kind of give a gut punch to Kansas City and that big crowd, and just to not be able to capitalize on that, that to me was the biggest part. And then the other one is, I think, personality, character, the way they just fall apart in the second half. I mean, one thing is obviously you got to give, you give Busio credit for that great free kick. But after that, that's the way you respond. You kind of just let him, you kind of just let it pile up on top of you and let him go up with 3 unanswered goals. But, you know, it's obviously a long season, right? But to me, the biggest one is personality, character, that killer instinct. This team doesn't have that.
Victor, you're sounding like an MLS coach. It's a long season. You know how I love that, right? you know how I love that. That's the best fallback position out there. Yeah. Well, look, there's a couple teams in the Western Conference that still have not won on the road. This is a big piece for Tab Ramos in getting it figured out. I think we did hear a lot from him during the week about the possession game. And listen, I think possession simply on the road to help you slow a game down, to buy some time, to recover, for all these other reasons, even if you're not penetrating and going forward. Possession just to have the ball, to get a collective breather, to me is a big thing. The Dynamo only had 31.9% possession in this game. And to Eddie's point, that was 3 goals and 14 minutes conceded after the Busio free kick opened the floodgates. I'm going back to you, Eddie, on Memo, because what's the alternative? The alternative is he plays in the middle, but it seemed Tab Ramos wanted to get Matias Vera on the field. He wanted Derek Jones on the field, and he wanted Corona on the field. Are there any other solutions to this? Does Memo have to be a starter?
Well, here's my thing, right? And we've talked about this multiple times in different broadcasts, pregame shows, postgame shows. Derek Jones, he's inconsistent. And, you know, he's had a couple of good games, but then against Sporting Kansas City, he gave the ball away far too many times. But we did notice his absence in the second half defensively in that area, in and around the top of the 18, where he's usually there protecting the back four, the center backs, winning balls, collecting balls, and normally he's been pretty good with his first pass, with getting out of pressure. But against Sporting Kansas City, you know, and I was pretty harsh on him on the giveaway on, I believe it was the second goal, and his response and his reaction to it right before he was subbed out of the game. So I think that Memo Rodriguez can go back in that middle. You have to have Joe Corona on the field, and you have to have either Matias Vera or Darwin Sorin, because those two are so good defensively at the work rate. But Joe Corona has to get on the ball more. We talk about possession. If the Dynamo want to keep possession, Joe Corona has to get more touches. He makes good decisions. He doesn't give the ball away. If he has to draw a foul, he draws the foul. But I think Memo Rodriguez and Maxi Urruti should be given the opportunity to really create some chemistry, because we see it from time to time. It's just not consistent there either. So I guess the word for me right now for the Houston Dynamo is consistency. Where are you playing Memo Rodriguez? Who's playing in that midfield? And who are the front three? Because I think if Tab Ramos can get that right, if he can stay with some consistency, they've got some time now to train for a couple weeks before they have away to LAFC, home to Portland, and away to Salt Lake. I mean, these are three teams that are only 2 points behind them. They're right at their backside. So this has not been an easy schedule for the Dynamo this year, and 11 points is pretty good. But these next three games are going to be tough.
All right, Eddie Robinson joining us, Victor Ariza of The Striker. Eddie obviously is the analyst on games, and you know him from his playing career. All right, so basically you just told me no more Derek Jones in the starting lineup.
No, not necessarily. I think because he's so young.
Well, but you didn't give me any choices. You gave me Sorin. You gave me how do you put your midfield together if you want Memo playing the 10? Now, by the way, I don't think Memo's had the most consistent year either. If you're going to go to Derek on consistency, do you think Memo's had a consistent season?
When he's playing at the 10, yes, but he hasn't played at the 10 the entire season. When he's playing at the 10, I think he's effective. When he gets on the ball, he's getting on the ball, he's got great communication and chemistry with Maxi Urruti. When Urruti comes deep, Memo makes those late runs in behind, and I think that gives the defense a fit. But when he plays outside, that's not Memo's position. He doesn't understand it enough. So Matias Vera, I think, has been the most consistent player for the Dynamo over the last couple of seasons. I think we can all agree on that. It could be an argument that he's been the MVP for the last few seasons. So you put him in that position, let Joe Corona play that 8, where he's a little bit defensive, a little bit offensive, get him on the ball a little bit more, let Memo play and communicate with Maxi Urruti, and let them interchange positions. Because when they do, it's a fit for the defenses.
He's had a lot. He's played as a 10 quite a bit. I mean, he had the good first game against San Jose. He had the goal and an assist in the game at home, the 2-1 win over Vancouver. Now, I wouldn't say his play in the run of play was very effective. And those runs you were talking about, I didn't really see them happening. I saw him be the sharpest guy in the penalty area and put that finish away. I saw him hit a good corner to Maxi Urruti. Victor, let me take you into it. How would you build the Dynamo midfield right now? Who would be your three midfield players? Because it's obviously something Todd Ramos is toying with and trying to find the right combination. And let's not forget, it has not been a good enough possession team.
Yeah, which is, but you know, one of the biggest things, and Tavis said this himself, he likes that the 4-2, you know, 1-3 formation, right? The one where, you know, he puts two defensive midfielders and puts an attacking one in front of them. So I don't know why he, to Eddie's point, you know, what the movement is, because that makes the team inconsistent, right? I mean, and like you mentioned, that I do think Memo has been inconsistent this season. I don't think that just shifting in position is completely part of it, but it doesn't help when you're, you know, like you said, you start the season in the middle, then you move him out wide for three games, then you bring him back in the middle, then you move him out wide for Kansas City. But overall, I mean, that's the formation he likes. I think that's the formation he should go with, right? Kind of go with your gut. Put two defensive midfielders. I mean, the best ones you've got, I think, are Vera and at least in this current moment, it is Corona, right? And then you put Memo in front, and then really, to your point again, that really is your only option because you don't really have anybody else attacking that can fill that role.
So you're saying, let me just get this right. Hold on. Matias Vera, Joe Corona, and Memo in front of them.
Right.
That's your three?
Yeah.
We agree. Okay. Thank you, Victor.
All right.
For me, it doesn't have enough steel. I don't think Memo's the best when the ball's lost, and I think that's the reason Tab produced the lineup he did in Kansas City to try and compete against them.
Well, that's why you play with two holding midfielders.
Well, and Victor's got Joe Corona as a holding midfielder too. So if you want to look at it like that, they played with three. I think he tried to toughen up the midfield to compete with them. I don't think it worked. To Joe Corona's point, I thought every time Joe got the ball, he ended up turning back towards his own goal. And I think this was a bit of a problem because I think a lot of times Fafa Pico and Maxi Arruti were defending so deep that he'd get a ball and he'd look up and he wouldn't have a lot of options. They'd be getting smothered by the press, which I thought was, I mean, that was one of the best exhibits of the press I think I've seen in the second half and even in the first half by Sporting Kansas City. I don't know if you guys agree.
Yeah, no, and that's where I talk about Derek Jones and his inconsistency. I mean, defensively, he's so good. He's been extremely, extremely good at staying in front of the center backs and staying in front of that space that Sporting Kansas City so effectively exploited in that second half, where all the game goals came from, where the free kick came from that Busio scored, top of the box. That's where Derek Jones is so great defensively, but he's got to be more consistent when he has the ball at his feet. And that's the one thing I would love to see Todd Ramos give him some tough love. Let him know, listen, I think we all know that Todd Ramos loves Derek Jones. We all do. We all know when he's at his best, he should be in there. Absolutely. But sometimes you got to do some tough love and maybe he's got to sit for a game.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back more with Eddie, more with Victor. You can join the conversation here at 713-780-3776. You heard us just talking about the Dynamo midfield. What do you think about the Dynamo midfield? Who would be your three midfielders, Dynamo fan? I hope you're there. Give us a call, 713-780-3776. We'll take a break here. Break brought to you by FM Bar and Kitchen. It is north of Washington Avenue, off Shepherd. FM Bar and Kitchen, great craft cocktails. You go in there, you're going to get a great cocktail. You go in there, you're going to get fresh food. Whether it's the salads, the torta, the birra torta, you can do the chicken sandwich, which I absolutely love. I get a lot of those takeout. Burgers as well are right on par. But they got a beautiful outdoor area as well. A lot of picnic benches. You want to spread out. You want to bring your dog. You want to bring your kids. You want to play games. It's a great mix of everything. They got four or five monitors outside as well. So you can put the Dynamo game on Channel 55, or you can put on the Euros, you name it. You can do it over there at FM Bar and Kitchen. Go over there, Kitchen and Bar. Go over there and see Jason, good friend of mine, and he will get you hooked up. It's FM Kitchen and Bar on Shepherd, just north of Washington. We'll take a break. We got more to come. Eddie and Victor coming back.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN
92.5.
Real. Let's go. Fun. Sports.